Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. On today's episode of Stands and Fits, we will recap Iowa State's Cy-Hawk loss to Iowa, look ahead to the game against Oklahoma, and then, of course, hot and not, would you rather, underrated underdogs, all that kind of stuff. What's up, man?
Oh, you know, here to podcast again.
We're
after an unfortunate loss.
Yeah, we've gotten into our routine now. We show up at the office after I've been in Ames all day.
Yep, and I've been working my regular job.
Yep, we're ready to rock and roll. But, yeah, you mentioned the unfortunate loss. Obviously, that's been dissected pretty heavily. I think if you really want in-depth dissection, listen to Jeff and I's podcast that we recorded on Monday.
Yep.
Football and Random Things.
And I think Jay's article just published Tuesday night.
I literally just posted it like 45 minutes. Actually, it was probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago.
Yep.
But, yeah, if you want really deep inside football stuff, those are the places to go and get them. But, obviously, we will talk about the game here as well.
Mm-hmm. So, coming out that first drive, they looked like they were ready to play.
Yeah, they did. They came out and played really well. I mean, it's hard to, like, be upset with anything that they did on that first drive. But then Iowa adjusted. Iowa State didn't really adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts you in kind of behind the eight ball.
Yeah. I was just surprised that they kept trying to run straight up the middle against Iowa's defensive line the whole night. And it didn't work.
Ever. Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that Jeff kind of explains on his, like, when I was talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Where Iowa was giving them basically the best run look you're going to get against an Iowa defense.
Yeah.
So, like, the football, the book of football, whatever, it's like if we're playing blackjack or something. The book of football would say, like, yeah, you got to run in this scenario.
Yeah.
You know, but really I think it was going to be tough for them to do that in just because of that, they'd be running straight into the strength of what Iowa's defense is. And they are relying very heavily on their weakest link on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that Iowa State's offensive line wasn't to the point where they were good enough that even though the book of football, like you say, said to run like they did, like you'd think after a quarter or two of that not working, then Campbell would just say, to hell with it, let's go with something different.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that definitely. I do think that I was watching the game last night and I was taking some notes and stuff. And there was one play that David Montgomery ran for like 7 or 8 yards in a first down where he kind of pushed the pile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a testament to how good David is that the offensive line, not a single one of them had their feet past the line of scrimmage, except maybe one when he got to the line.
Mm.
So they were basically just getting stood up and not able to move anybody. And I don't think that they were necessarily missing their blocks, but when you can't move anyone, you can never get to the second level or anything like that.
Yeah.
You're not pushing anybody into other people, then it's going to be hard to really run the ball at an effective level.
And that reminds me of a quote that Jay mentioned in one of his articles, I believe, is that when you're watching film and you're watching the line of scrimmage, whichever team's helmets you can see on the line, that's the team that's losing.
Yeah.
And so I assume if you went back and watched the film of that game, you'd see a lot of red helmets, obviously.
You did. I mean, there were some interesting things that Iowa State did that I think, you know, they can improve on here in the coming months. For instance, I thought this was kind of interesting. There was the first play on the goal line, or maybe not the first play. It was right before the third down play.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State lined up in an I formation set with all 11 players in the box.
Don't see that very much anymore.
No. And Iowa actually kind of lucked out because they thought they had too many men on the field, and then someone ran off, and then they had 10 on the field, and that's why they called a timeout. And I didn't realize that in the moment, just like being in the press box, it's hard to recognize that kind of thing. But they come back out in that same set, and then you false start.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's tough, you know, to when you shoot yourself in the foot like that in that kind of a scenario.
Mm-hmm. And I, at the time, like, I was I was on board with them going for it. So it was unfortunate that that false start happened, because I thought, like, hey, you know, if they get it, it's so early in the game that it doesn't really matter if they don't get the points, you know. But if they get stuffed,
yeah,
whatever you want to call
stuffed.
It, stuffed,
yeah.
Then you know, Iowa's backed up on their 1 yard line, obviously, but can't do that when you have penalties, man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they kind of just shot themselves in the foot, and then it was interesting. I mean, the way they got down there, I think, really showed, you know, it proved like what we've thought Iowa State's offense could do.
Yeah.
And you saw some guys who were not as well known, like, making some plays. I mean, Sheldon Crony makes a nice play to get him down inside the five.
Yep.
On a catch.
Yeah.
I would have to imagine that might be Sheldon Crony's first reception of his career. I don't remember another one.
I think he had a few last year. But, yeah, you're right. He rarely catches the ball.
Yeah. It's cool to see him out there having success. I mean, anybody that knows his story and what happened to him before he got to Iowa State.
Yep.
It's cool to see him out there on the field and doing things for the team.
I am a little surprised that we didn't see any of Kane Nwangwu back in the backfield.
Yeah. I just don't know if that was the right kind of game for him. You got to go with your power people, I think, you know.
I don't know, though. I mean, because you think, like...
Man, is it just me, or is it hot in hell in here?
I think it's just you. I feel fine.
Man, it's hot in here.
You're under the pressure of getting a good podcast out. That's
something
why.
Like that. I don't know. It just feels really hot in here today.
All right. But, yeah, I think that they could have, you know, thrown in that lightning package every now and then. And that's another thing. Like, we never even saw any of... Again, it could be a first big game on the road kind of thing against your rival, but we never saw any of Real Mitchell either.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that we'll see more in the future.
Do you think that they'll break that out this Saturday against Oklahoma?
I think it depends on the scenario they're in. Maybe if they're in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would probably be the best
and that
place
leads,
to use him.
That leads into another question, too. If Kyle Kemp cannot play, if he's out, then who comes in if Zeb Nolan gets hurt?
I would imagine that it would be Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Would be the
– just because
he would be the number one option
in that scenario.
He's
more of the prototypical passer.
Yeah, but
option.
He's mobile too. Like he can move he can move a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would probably be the most
he's just more of a
scenario.
More of a traditional quarterback than Real is.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, from everything we've heard, he's the real deal, you know.
Nope,
so.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, I think it would have been hard to throw Real out there in that scenario.
Yeah.
The first trip to the red zone. I mean, it was still pretty amped atmosphere at that time, which I think you saw by the fact that Josh Mueller jumped off sides on the I formation play.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The offense is going to get better. You're going to have to get better, really.
That's the encouraging thing. Like I'm writing about that in my column. It'll go tomorrow, I guess. But the offense and the special teams, they can't get much worse than what they were.
Yeah.
So, like, even though they looked very bad against Iowa, it's like there's still reason to be optimistic.
Well, and really the special teams were only the punting.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they made the one field goal.
Yeah, they made the one field goal, and then there were two kickoffs. Both were touchbacks.
Yep.
But
still, like, the punts were so – like, the two bad punts were so bad that it just really sticks out like a sore thumb.
I mean, really, in the end, though, okay, they got 3 points on one of them, but they didn't even hurt them that much, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was – Jeff and I talked about that, too, where, I mean, that Corey Dunn, I wouldn't be surprised if that's, like, the first real college football game he's ever been around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because I don't know what his, like, visits or anything were like, but...
And I think Chris mentioned that, you know, being from Australia, he may not have played in front of more than, like, 100 people in his life.
Yeah, exactly. That. Or even when he... And it had been 2 years since he played in a game because he redshirted his second year at San Francisco City Community College.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, it had been a long time since he'd played some live football.
Yeah.
And he'd never played live football in an environment like that.
And I don't know the answer to this, but I'd be curious... if he feels more comfortable rugby punting or straight up, you know, standard punt.
I think he's probably more comfortable rugby punting.
That's what I would think, too.
But I think he really can do everything.
Yeah.
I'd heard before he has, like, 17 different kind of launch angles.
Types,
He can, like, kick with both legs.
Yeah.
which I don't know.
And again, like I had also heard that, hey, he'd been tearing up practices and he, you know, he'd been doing awesome. But
well, I'd say that became clear when on his third punt he booted it 58 yards
yeah,
in the air.
That's the thing. Like his standard punts did really well.
Yeah. Analyzing the punting game.
Yeah, that's what we've come to.
But I mean, the defense was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and Jay notes that there maybe could be some improvement in the safety play.
Yeah.
And he even says in there, like, that's kind of picking nits because it's two plays out of all of those plays where the safeties got beat.
Yeah.
And otherwise, than that,
they,
like,
were so solid, man.
Yeah, the defense was good.
Like, I know Iowa isn't a world beater on offense, but they Iowa State's defense just looked fast, and they all, you know, went to the ball so
yeah.
fast.
We've never seen an Iowa State defense own the line of scrimmage like that, especially in that game.
Yeah. Against Iowa, usually the defensive line's getting pushed around
because
Iowa has a good O-line, but not this year.
I think that – I mean, this will be a much greater test for them
yeah.
than what
– Oh, yeah. Oklahoma's so much better on offense than Iowa is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they might have one of the best offenses in the country.
Yeah.
There's a reason that Kyler Murray is squarely in the Heisman conversation right now.
Yeah. And they catch a break with Rodney Anderson being out for the year now, but, I mean, Oklahoma's just going to reload.
The thing is, though, well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. You – obviously, it hurts Oklahoma to lose Rodney Anderson, but Trey Sermon is pretty damn good in his own right.
Yeah.
They've got a kid in TJ Pledger who's a true freshman that was very highly recruited, and I think is – they think very highly of him as well.
Yep.
And they're never going to struggle to find a – satisfactory running back in Norman, Oklahoma.
For sure. And the nice part is, even though Oklahoma obviously is always filled with a lot of talent, their defense likely won't be as good as Iowa's was.
I think they've been playing a lot better this year. They're fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that they've got over. I mean, Iowa's defense is fast too.
Yeah.
But these guys are more speed.
Yep.
You know, they're going to take more chances.
Yep.
But Iowa State's going to have to score if they're going to win. Because if you hold down Oklahoma's offense, holding down Oklahoma's offense is like holding them to like
30 points.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And not 3 or
yeah.
13 or whatever.
So if it's going to be – unless Iowa State's going to force a lot of turnovers, which I guess obviously will limit Oklahoma's points, but unless they do that, they're really going to have to score the ball a lot.
I mean, they've just got too much talent at the receiver spots, too much talent at quarterback, running back on
yeah.
the offensive line.
Yep.
It like to them scoring points is basically inevitable, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how Lincoln Riley and his offense react to the way that Iowa State played them last year. And that's going to be a good chess match.
It is,
you know, Lincoln Riley versus John Haycock, because that was kind of the first time where you really saw a team slow Oklahoma's offense down last year.
Yeah. And, you know,
really nobody else did it the entire season, to be honest.
And the thing, like, I remember about last year is it seemed like they did a good job of, you know, picking their spots when to throw it deep, Iowa State. And I feel like there was, like, barely any of that until late in the game against Iowa. And obviously different teams, you know, different game plans,
yeah.
but still.
Well, and it's like it felt like they were just not as disciplined. That's, I think, what you have to bank on a little bit, hoping that Oklahoma's not going to be quite as disciplined in their principles as what Iowa is.
Yeah.
You know. Because just the way Iowa's defense is designed, you're not.
Yeah.
It's just like the epitome of discipline.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll Iowa's defense is supposed to let you get a few chunks of
yeah.
yards, but then, you know, they'll clamp down and not give up any big plays.
Right. And obviously that was
what happened.
Representative of the way the game went.
Yeah.
I think that there could have been openings, and that's something that Jay wrote a lot about. There were some openings where I think they could have thrown further down the field.
Yep.
But when it's like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3
That's
Mississippi,
the thing.
And then there's already 2 guys in your lap, it's hard to be a quarterback and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to throw it 20 yards right here.
Exactly. When you only have that much time to react, you'll get through your primary, you know, receiving threat and then maybe one secondary look. But then if both those guys are covered, then you're screwed.
Yeah. And just on rewatch of the game, that's what is so striking to me, how little time Kyle Kemp had to throw the football. And it wasn't even where guys are running free. It's that dudes were bull rushing straight into those tackles
yeah.
and pushing the tackles back into Kyle Kemp.
Yep.
Whereas, like, it's honestly kind of surprising that he didn't get hurt earlier in some ways just because of having somebody step on his foot or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, last year I thought that Kyle Kemp had a pretty good pocket presence. Like, he knew when it was collapsing around him, but it was just the like the way it was.
Seemed like he panicked a little bit.
He panicked a little bit this year, and I think, you know, there was no space to get out of there either. Everyone was just right collapsing in on him, like mm-hmm. you said.
Well, Nick Niemann came in and sacked him on, like, their second drive. Mm-hmm. Basically, they put in the – what's that? The package.
The sugar package.
Is it the sugar package? Well, I thought it was, like, the Raiders or something.
Like the one where
Raiders
they all stand up on the
– yeah.
Yeah, they call it sugar on TV.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember what – but what, regardless, they put all their pass rushers in.
Yeah.
And they did that, and then the linebacker runs completely untouched into the backfield and sacks Kyle Kemp.
Yeah.
And after that happened, his whole demeanor seemed to really change.
And I don't know, okay, regarding that play specifically, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter at all, but people who were watching the broadcast on TV thought that they heard, or me included, thought that there was a whistle on occasion, like right after the snap, when Iowa State had the ball.
Like, I don't remember hearing that. I mean, okay. I'd have to listen.
Like, it was verified, like, more than one person, like, pointed it out. And on that play particularly, it stood out on the replay. And we all thought that Iowa State's guys, like, you know, delayed for, like, a split second. And that's what, like, threw off the entire play.
Did it do that for the whole game?
I would say I particularly remember it, like, three or four times. I'm not sure if it was the entire game.
Are you sure it's not just somebody sitting really close to the camera?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure, though, because I think Iowa State's guys all reacted to it. So, I don't know.
I mean, I'd have to watch it.
That might be a little bit of a tinfoil hat thing, but
I remember seeing that on Twitter, but I was in no position to be able to recognize that during the
– I didn't DVR it. I would be interested in going back and watching again, but I do recall that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to go back and watch it again to
– I'd be curious.
Really know for sure. How do you feel going into the game? Are you in Sky's falling mode?
Definitely not.
No.
Like, I think Iowa State's offense is obviously going to play better than they did against Iowa. The question will just be if they can slow down Oklahoma at all, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the question when any time anybody plays against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Really, in all reality.
I think for my final, well, I have to switch it up this week because I went for the reverse jinx, as you pointed out last week. I have to go for the straight up picking Iowa State this week. So I'll go with Iowa State in a 3-point win. I think it's going to be something like 34-31.
Now they're going to lose and everybody's going to blame you because you changed your mind.
No, they're going to win and it's going to be, I've picked everything correctly so far this year.
Wow. I have not. Well, I mean, there's only one game.
Yeah. Well, technically, if you count the South Dakota State game, and we all picked that as a win, so I count that as one.
Yeah.
Because we were up 7-0 at that point.
Fair enough. What do you think they're going to end up doing for the other game? Have you seen all the stuff with the waivers and everything?
With the waivers?
Yeah, they got a waiver got denied to get an FCS team to play a 12th game.
Oh, really?
They tried to play Drake. That waiver got denied.
I saw that.
And then their waiver to get into a bowl with 5 wins got denied. If they
really?
Were 5-6. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But I figure all these cancellations that are coming with the hurricane coming in,
right,
there's going to be a lot more teams.
I think the circumstances could change a little bit.
Yeah.
With that, just because there will be a larger pool of teams that will be trying to problem solve a little bit.
Yeah. And do you think that it would be the kind of thing where they try to play during Iowa State's bye week, like try to find another team with a matching bye week, or do you think they'll shoot for December 1?
I think that the most likely scenario is December 1.
Okay.
It'd be tough to play 12 weeks in a row, which I think I'd
And a lot of dominoes have to fall correctly to get that bye week.
Well, exactly. That's your pool's probably a lot smaller in that scenario.
Yeah.
But I think that the December 1 date is probably the best case scenario.
Mm.
I don't know though.
So we might, you never know, that might be the snow game here in Jack Trice Stadium.
I think I saw at one point that there's never been a game played at Jack Trice Stadium in December.
Oh, really?
That's what I saw somebody tweet, yeah. Huh.
I could have swore that, like, maybe we played at Kansas State one of those years in December, but I could have swore at one point.
I can't imagine. That first weekend in December has always been championship week. Yeah.
And Iowa State's obviously never played.
Right.
Then.
Well, and even in, like, in the Big 8 days, you know, like, the last game of the year was like, right after Thanksgiving, because that's back when Nebraska and Oklahoma played each other every on the Black Friday. You know, that was, like, who was going to the Orange Bowl.
Gotcha, that's true. Might have to fact check that one, but, yeah, we'll see.
I'm, like, 85.9% sure that that is a a true fact.
It's a very particular percentage.
Yeah. I'm very, I don't know.
Confident in that percentage?
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that. All right, you got any other thoughts on Iowa State football before we move on?
I mean, we haven't really mentioned him, but we have to shout out Mike Rose.
He
was insanely good, dude.
Named to the Pro Football Focus All Big 12 team for this week.
Yeah, 11 tackles, I believe.
11 tackles, 7 solo tackles, yeah. 1 tackle for loss, and a
crazy
pass breakup.
You can just tell his football instincts are off the charts.
Right. There was one play where he broke up a pass that he like reached around Noah Fant and knocked it out and popped it up in the air, and Willie Harvey almost intercepted it. It was right at the beginning of the game. And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
All right.
This guy can play.
Yeah, that kid's legit. There was like 4 or 5 moments in there where you're just like, man, this dude's for real.
Yeah, exactly. He did not look at all like a freshman.
No. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you have to know that at some point there's going to be a game where he's going to make a freshman mistake just because he's a freshman.
Yeah, it'll probably be like a blown coverage somewhere. And it might even be against Oklahoma since they're so good on offense. But
that's the other thing that I'm interested to see is how much will he play against these spread offensive teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like if they go more to their nickel package, I guess, and take him out of the game, that kind
right.
of thing.
But he looks fast, so I don't have that many like concerns about him.
No, it's just a matter
covering
of
running backs and stuff.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, he's obviously very good in run coverage, but maybe not
right.
necessarily as good yet in pass coverage.
It'll be and it's another interesting thing that I haven't heard anybody note is that last year when Iowa State went down to Oklahoma and won, they did it without Willie Harvey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Huh. He wasn't suspended, was he?
I think he was, yeah.
Oh, was he?
I can't remember if he was suspended or hurt, but I remember that he didn't play.
Huh. So would Regan Northrop have played more or something?
No,
like that?
I think that they just played Joel and Marshall Spears mostly.
Huh. The more you know.
Yeah.
Don't remember that at all.
I hadn't thought about that until like right before this happened or like this conversation. But I went back to another conversation I had with someone previously, someone inside the program, that they mentioned that to me when I was working on something.
Nice.
It's like a side thing. All right. All right. Is that it?
Yep. That's all for me.
We'll do Hot and Not when we come back. You're listening to Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seen or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits. Time for Hot and Not. You can lead us off.
All right, my hot this week. They are officially putting in a Krispy Kreme a block away from my apartment, and I am pumped.
Seriously?
Yeah. Like the Grumpy, Goat? You know where that is? Like literally right next to the Grumpy Goat.
Oh, my God.
In Ankeny. It's going to be great. Like a block away, get a donut for breakfast every now and then.
RIP my BMI.
Exactly. But it's going to – oh, dude. Like there's nothing better than a Krispy Kreme donut like right off the conveyor belt.
There's nothing better than a Sunday morning. Maybe you're a little bit hungover. Go to Krispy Kreme. And you just sit and you watch the donuts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's such a glorious sight.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And like, I like glazed donuts, but there's just something about them being warm and like, you know, the fresh glaze right over the top of the donut. It's so good.
We need to see, man, I should talk to Chris. We need to get Krispy Kreme as a sponsor. I want to endorse Krispy Kreme.
Dude, that would be awesome. We totally got to get them. But yeah, that leads me to a question though. Like, are there any other like franchises or restaurants in general that you would like instantly want to move into Ankeny or anywhere like around Des Moines or Ames?
I would like to see Raising Cane's in Ankeny. Have you ever had Raising Cane's?
I have not. They're chicken strips, right?
Yeah.
And there's one in Jordan Creek now.
Yeah, there's one in Weston Moore. That's just a long ways away to go for chicken strips.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But when I'm out there, I'm always going to Cane's.
There you go. So move that into Ankeny. They can come in somewhere near Krispy Kreme.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your chicken and donuts.
Is there anywhere else that you can think of?
Well, I was thinking Whataburger.
Oh, yeah.
For like mainly for Big 12 recruiting purposes.
That's really only like in Texas, though, isn't it?
I've never had it, but I've just always wanted to try it because everyone raves about it.
I've been there once, and I was in Texas when I had it, so.
I gotcha. I think it is only in, you know, the South.
Yeah.
If not just Texas.
Everybody that comes from Texas, though, they all say that they miss Whataburger.
Yeah. And I think like the regional ones that you always think about are In-N-Out's on the West Coast, Whataburger's in the South, and I think probably Culver's represents this region.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Culver's is probably my favorite fast food burger, hands down.
Bebop's is what I rock with, like, from Des Moines.
Bebop's is very good, yeah. I think, personally, I prefer Culver's, but they're both very good.
Culver's just takes too long, in my opinion.
Not the Ames one, man. Ames one gets it right to you.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't been to that place in a really long time.
But anyways. Another good burger place, I don't know if you ever had before, is Shake Shack. They have good burgers, too.
I've never been to Shake Shack. I've been to Steak and Shake. Steak I would like a Steak and Shake. That would be good.
They have one in Iowa City?
Yeah, in Coralville.
That's right.
Yeah.
But not one in Des Moines.
No, not that I'm aware of. And if there is, then I'm sleeping on it, and I need to wake up.
So we definitely have a lot of restaurants that need to come around these parts.
There's got to be something else. What was the one that Bloom really wanted? Oh, Five Guys. We've got Five Guys
now.
Oh, yeah.
It opened in Jordan Creek, and there's one in Ankeny.
Yeah, there's one in Ankeny now. The Wahlburgers. Just opened up out in Jordan Creek. I think it opened today.
Is Marky Mark going to stop by anytime? Do we know?
Dude, I was in an Uber, and a guy was like, dude, did you hear that Mark Wahlberg's moving to Ankeny?
I was
like, what? Are you serious? And then I said it to somebody else, and they're like, yeah, that's just a rumor. That's not true.
It was probably like one of those things where, I don't know if you ever saw it, but there was a fake article going around online that like Johnny Depp was going to move to somewhere in Iowa. It was basically like that kind of thing where like tons of people shared it on Facebook because of course people on Facebook share stupid fake stuff all the time.
Right.
But yeah, it's just fake news that gets passed around.
Man, I want Mark Wahlberg to just make a movie in Des Moines. Like what movie could Mark Wahlberg make in Des Moines? And let's come up with the plot for the next Mark Wahlberg movie based in Des Moines.
I mean, do you just go with Transformers and just have like all these,
that'd be dope.
Machines blowing up downtown Des Moines.
That'd be kind of badass, actually.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, what would be a really cool thing for Transformers to do in Des Moines?
I could see them, like, falling into 8-1 Grand or something.
Yeah.
In the building, like, toppling.
I could see after he falls into 8-1 Grand, like, one gets thrown into Principal Park.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, crashes through the outfield fence and goes into the Des Moines River.
I was going to say, like, hits the river or something. Yeah. They're, like, fighting right up by the Capitol.
Yeah. They rip off the gold dome and use it as a weapon.
Oh, my God. Now we've really gotten out. We've gone out there now.
We are writing a script for a movie, man.
Jerry Bruckheimer, get at us.
That's right.
We can revitalize the Transformers franchise.
Yeah.
Is there a movie franchise that has just consistently put out crap than Transformers after, like, the first movie? Maybe the second one?
Consistently put out crap.
The ones, like, the ones with Shia LaBeouf, I rock with those movies.
And Megan Fox, man.
Well, yeah.
Back when Megan Fox was super hot.
I mean, did she ever stop being super hot?
I mean,
I guess I haven't seen her in a while.
She's still pretty hot, but I mean, she's got some work done.
Megan Fox, 2018.
Like, you can tell, like, her face is she's got plastic in there.
Well, I mean, obviously.
I mean, obviously, like, a lot of actresses do, but you can just extra tell with her.
Yeah, man. I mean, Megan Fox is definitely still hot.
Yeah.
I know you probably can't say that because you've got...
Well, like, I can. I might get a scowl when I get home. But, yeah. She was on... the last time I actually saw anything with Megan Fox in it was... I don't know if you've ever seen New Girl, but she was in New Girl for, like, a few episodes.
Yeah. I've seen parts of it.
Yeah.
That girl's cute, too.
Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
If you had to make a list... All right. I don't know if you've ever... Have you watched Friends?
Yes. Many times.
Have you ever had to... If you had to make a list, like, where it's, like... your five people that if they came on to you, your like significant other couldn't be mad. Who's on it?
My number one celebrity crush is Alexandra Daddario.
Uh-huh.
You know who she is?
I don't think so.
You'll probably recognize her if you Google her. She was, I guess, in True Detective, I guess is what she's most known for.
Oh, and is she in the second season?
I think the first season, I want
to say. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. No, yeah, yeah, she's in the first season.
Yeah, she's...
That's like Woody Harrelson's, like, side chick.
Yep. So she's my number one, and then Blake Lively is on my list. And I'm just going to go three. The other one would be Nina Dobrev.
Okay.
I think she was mostly known for her Vampire Diaries, but she's pretty hot, too.
I am, like, all of a sudden, I can't think of anybody that... Taylor Swift. I mean, I'm going to...
Really? You think she's on your list, man?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I love Taylor Swift.
Do you like blondes in general, or do you just like Taylor?
I don't know. I don't really have a preference. I just like Taylor Swift.
Okay.
There's somebody else that I'm always like, man, I can't even think of who it is. I don't know.
You have to come back.
It's like every time that somebody brings them up, I'm like, yeah, that's my wife. Don't talk about her like that.
Huh.
But I can't think of who it is. It's like just when they bring her up,
you got to keep pondering this. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's try to figure this out a little bit. Is she like an A-lister, or is she like on TV shows prominently, movies? Is she a singer?
I would put Katie Nolan on my list.
Okay.
You know who Katie Nolan is?
She's a commentator, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. I like Katie Nolan a lot.
Very good.
She's also very smart about sports, so that would just be...
Yeah, it's really cool.
Like we would have very good...
Chemistry.
Yeah. We could talk about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Have some very good engaging conversations.
Yeah, which is important.
Man, we really went sideways with that. Sorry.
Where'd this start? We talked with restaurants, didn't
we?
Yeah,
we were talking about restaurants and then talked about Transformers and
Megan Fox because of Transformers.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
There's like three or four degrees of separation there.
Right. That was just one of those moments where we kind of just got off on a thing and then my mind just started going all kinds of different directions.
Yeah.
All right, my hot this week, Herm Edwards, 2-0 with the Arizona Sun Devils. Everybody chastised them, said that it wasn't going to work, and look what Herm went and did. He went and won some football games.
I never would have guessed that in a million years.
No. I never saw that going well in any way.
Mm-mm.
But I did keep dropping my stat last week. Teams going into last week were Big Ten teams were 0-9 in Sun Devil Stadium in night games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now they're 0-10.
It's impressive. And I think Michigan State's a good team too. I don't think they're overrated.
People were picking them to win the Big Ten East.
Yeah.
Like I know I was listening to Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman today and they picked them to win the
Big Ten East. If you figure Ohio State's got a ton of distractions, obviously, then they'd be up there with Michigan.
That's gonna be an interesting game this weekend too, Ohio State and TCU.
Yeah.
I don't think TCU's that good though. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I think they have taken a minor step back from last year.
Their quarterback play is not good.
Yeah.
Right now. Dude, you want to know what's going to be one of the great what-ifs? I think that if Iowa State would have won last week, they would have been very squarely in the game day conversation.
Yes, for sure, because all those storylines about last year with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Iowa State probably would have been ranked, and it would have been a battle of ranked opponents.
Or at least they would have been close.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, being in Ames, they've never been to Ames. Come to Ames, talk about last year's game. Just a bunch of Kyler Murray stuff, you know, it would have been perfect.
But it was on pretty good faith that was very squarely in consideration.
Okay, say Iowa State rattles off like three or four wins in a row. Is there like an opponent on the second half of the schedule do you think they'd get College Game Day for?
I think West Virginia would probably be in that kind of consideration,
if they're
depending on how their schedule
point.
Is going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think they could be undefeated because they don't play Oklahoma or any of those teams till the end of the season.
So they have, like, the opposite schedule of Iowa State.
Yeah. So that could – I mean, I'd
because obviously
got to win a lot of football games before then probably.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
But if Iowa State does win a lot of football games, I mean, those are going to be good wins.
I think – I will say this. I will go on the record and say this. I think that at some point in the next 5 years, based on the current trajectory of Iowa State football, College Game Day will come to Ames. I believe that.
That's a fair – assessment, I think.
I would even go out on a limb to say if Iowa State has a good season this year and goes into next year ranked or close to ranked, I could see the Cy-Hawk game being a game day possibility.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So here's a question.
Because they like doing those rivalries.
Yeah.
You know.
If Iowa State does get game day, do you think they do it on Central Campus? Do you think they do it like on the one of the fields next to Jack Trice Stadium?
Well, that's what Chris and I were talking about. I think that the best case scenario would be to do it on Central Campus, but it would probably depend on when the game is. If you're playing at 11 a.m., logistically that would be difficult because no one would go to Central Campus and miss the game.
Yep.
You know. So I would say if the game was at 11, they'd probably put it like in that Raymond Gardens area, mm-hmm. over there on the south side of the stadium.
That's true. That's a good
spot. With the stadium in the background.
Yep.
And then if they were going to do, I think in like a best case scenario, yeah, it would be on Central Campus with the Campanile in the back and yep. like the Union and everything, or even, yeah.
I think that'd be a perfect college game day spot.
Oh, yeah.
Like they could set up a stage there and have a ton of people.
Well, especially
there.
With the lawns and everything right there.
Yeah.
Like that'd be perfect, dude.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be awesome.
That's exciting to think about. So 5 years, it's going to.
I think in the next, like I said, I'll go on the record and say that's a prediction.
All
in
right.
the next 5 years. Hey, by the way, we made a bet and you still haven't paid up on your bet.
Here's the thing. I have a surprise for you after the show.
What? No, no way.
No. It's something we'll have to share in another medium. But yes, I do have something for you that I think will settle the bet.
Man, that's. Now I'm intrigued. Now I want to know.
Yeah.
I feel like, man.
You'll have to wait. You'll have to wait and see. I had it in my back pocket last week if you brought it up, but since you didn't bring it up, I didn't bring it up.
Okay. So. Okay. We'll settle it after the show.
All right.
All right. What's your not this week?
All right. My not this week is John Gruden. We have to talk about the NFL a little bit here.
Yeah.
So John Gruden obviously traded away Khalil Mack, and then after they got beat by the Rams, I believe, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He complained that, like, they couldn't get any pass rush against any of their front. And, like, you know, he's making all these comments that, like, hey, if you would have had Khalil Mack, then you would have been able to do that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, even though the Bears lost, Khalil Mack looked all world against the Packers.
Yeah, Khalil Mack was awesome.
Yeah. He completely dominated the first half. And it looked like they were going to run away with that game until, of course, Aaron Rodgers became Aaron Rodgers. So it's just funny to me that he makes a trade that gets rid of – quite possibly could be the best defensive player in the NFL, and then complains about how his defense couldn't have, you know, wasn't as good as they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I don't know. The Raiders did not look very good though.
Yeah.
In general, I mean, they were fine in the first half. They kind of imploded in the second half.
I didn't actually watch the game. I just, you know, I saw.
Yeah.
He made those comments. So.
How did you watch Matt Stafford last night?
I did.
He was awful, dude.
He was gone.
Oh my goodness.
I was thinking about making him my not this week, just because I'm friends with the Lions, a big Lions fan, and he was all giving us crap during the Vikings game. You know, just, you know, regular smack talk. And then of course they got stomped by the Jets last night. It was just so pleasurable to watch.
Vikings look good.
They did. And obviously it's going to be tougher to win in Lambeau, but I think they can do it. I don't think the Packers are that good of a team.
Kirk Cousins made my made me feel good down low.
He did he?
Some of those throws.
That
man.
Good, huh? All right.
It was full, as Chris Williams would say, it was full eggplant.
He put a couple where only Minnesota's guys could get him.
Yeah. He dropped that first touchdown that he threw to Diggs, mm-hmm. just dropped it right in there for him. I was like, now that's a quarterback.
Yeah,
right
there. That's the kind of thing that's going to take the Vikings from good to great.
Yeah. And the defense obviously looked legit.
Yep.
Who did they even play?
49ers,
that's right.
Yeah.
Not that the 49ers are world beaters by any stretch of the imagination.
But I mean, like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is getting hyped coming into the season.
Right.
And, you know, they've got a good offensive-oriented coach, so it's good to slow them down.
Yeah. But I feel good about the Vikings.
Yeah.
I went from thinking they're, you know, 10-6, 11-5 to
– I could see 12. I'd see 12 games, I think.
I'm thinking worst case scenario, 15-1.
Really?
But
a little bit very, hyperbole there.
Very realistically, I think 19-0 is within the crosshairs.
All right. Are you putting that on the record too?
Yeah.
Along with your college game day prediction?
Well, we're recording.
All right, you're right. Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a soliloquy here for a second, and that's gonna take us into our next break. But I've got something I really want to talk about. My not this week is the rap game. Last Friday, the world of music really lost a special artist in person when Mac Miller died of an apparent overdose at the age of 26. I'm not normally a person who gets wrapped up in celebrity deaths, but this is one that really hit me hard. It was one of those "are you kidding me" moments when my friend Leif told me that it had happened. Few artists have had as big of an impact on me in my life. I was in high school when Mac first came on the scene, and Blue Slide Park is still one of my favorite albums to listen to straight through. When Good AM was released, I was a senior in college, and it really felt like where I was as a person and the vibes I had going on in my head. Swimming, his most recent album, was, in my opinion, really the peak of his career. He never stopped getting better as a rapper and a musician, and really, he should be more defined as a musician than pigeonholed into being a rapper, just because he really was one of the few guys that was out there doing everything, playing the piano, playing the bass, playing the guitar, you know, putting everything that he put on a project. They all had his fingerprints on him. He was constantly evolving, and few artists are capable of constant improvement like he was. Every album he put out got better, and it really makes you wonder where his trajectory of growth could have taken him. Matt kept it real until the day he died. Whether it was addiction, anxiety, or depression, he was never scared to speak out and put his thoughts on a track. It really felt like you knew him. That's why I was so encouraged after listening to Swimming and thinking to myself, wow, he really sounds like he's in a good place. Anybody who knows my story knows I went through some really tough times about a year and a half ago, and during those moments, I chose to listen to Mac Miller. I'm so sad that we'll never get to see where his career could have gone, because I truly believe he would have been remembered as one of the great artists of our generation, and to me, he always will be. Rest in peace, Mac. I hope you can keep riding that big blue slide in the sky. You'll be greatly missed by me and all the rest of your fans. We'll be right back with more Stands and Fits after this message on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits. All right, done being sappy for a little while. Let's do underrated underdogs. I'll go first.
Okay.
What the hell was I thinking not rocking with the Kansas Jayhawks?
Dude, you would have been like, that would have been a Nostradamus level pick, man.
I was so pissed at myself. I was watching that game, which I don't know why I was doing that.
Because you're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. But they actually didn't look that bad, but I think Central Michigan's probably just super bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I was kind of waiting for you to say something, but mine this week.
But your pick is.
Yeah, mine this week. I'm going to rock with Syracuse, +3 at home against Florida State. The start to the Willie Taggart era has been probably as bad as it could be while being 1-1. Mm-hmm. Because they probably should have lost to Samford.
How is, like, obviously Florida State still has a lot of super good athletes. Like, how are they so bad?
I don't know. That's what I don't get. It doesn't make any sense.
Because it can't, like, I don't know, just, like, when usually when you have that kind of talent, like, you should be able to overpower teams.
Yeah, and they couldn't, they looked bad against Virginia Tech. Mm. They looked really, and from everything I've heard, they looked really bad against Samford. Mm. I don't know how anybody can look at that. Somebody still voted for them in the AP poll.
Which is insane.
Which is just insanity.
That just shows you that, you know, there are some AP poll voters who just mailed in everywhere.
They have no idea. Yeah. They're not paying any attention.
Yeah.
In defense of AP voters, it would be really hard to do that.
Oh, yeah. Because you have a regular job to do besides that.
Especially if you're covering a team. Like, I think about how I feel after a game. And I don't want to, like, think about ranking teams.
Yeah, you just want to turn it off for a while.
And I'll still watch football, like, especially, so, like, this Saturday when it's an 11 a.m. game, like, I'll still watch football in the evening, but I'm not, it's not the same, you know? I'm not there, like, hanging on every play.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's just kind of on.
Yeah.
And I can definitely understand why some AP voters get to the end of the night and they're like, man, I really don't want to
still though
do this right
like
now.
Like, I do understand that, but like, you don't even have to watch the games. You can just like look at the box score and see, you know, hey, this team that was supposed to be really good maybe is not that actually good.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe that's just too much work.
I don't know. But I do know that Florida State should not be receiving votes in the AP poll. No. That is one thing that I do know. And yeah. Now this week, the Syracuse Orangemen are going to prove it. Or wait, they're the Orange now, just the Orange, right?
Orange, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Syracuse Orange.
I like that pick. Syracuse looked pretty good their first week. Okay, my pick for the week is Rutgers +3 over Kansas.
It's a bold move.
I do not think that Kansas can string together two wins. So I think this is I'm playing the odds here. I'm not actually like high on Rutgers or anything. I just think that they're going to be better than Central Michigan and they're going to be able to beat Kansas.
Bold move going against the powerhouse Kansas Jayhawks.
They're on their longest win streak that they've been on in a long time.
This is the first time that they were favored against a Power 5 team. Are you ready for this?
Is it since like 2007 or something?
2009.
Like that?
So either way, that's still crazy.
Yeah.
2009.
That's pretty incredible. And that was like right after they got off like winning the Orange Bowl, basically.
Yeah, I thought that
maybe that like the year after.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think 2007 season was when they did that.
Within a couple years of winning the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, it was either 2007 or 2008. I can't remember.
And that seems like
there was a point when Kansas and Missouri were like number one and number two. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
Chase Daniel and Todd Reesing.
Yeah.
They did battle at Arrowhead Stadium.
Missouri had a string of good quarterbacks there for a while.
Brad Smith.
Yeah. Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert was trash. I don't care what anybody says.
Dude, he got in for the Titans, I believe.
Dude, he had them. There was a period where Mizzou was legit like a perennial top five team in the Big 12. Or at least they would almost always get to the top five.
Yep.
And then they would lose to somebody like inexplicably.
Well, I think that last year that they were in the Big 12, I think that was Jake Knott and AJ Klein's senior year, I believe. And I'm pretty sure they stomped Iowa State in Columbia.
That can't be right. Because
I'm pretty sure.
Were they in the conference longer than Colorado and Nebraska were then?
I think maybe 1 year. Don't quote me on that, but I remember.
You could be right. I don't.
I remember distinctly that the team that had Jake and AJ back there, they got killed at Columbia.
Okay.
One of those last few years they were in the conference.
Because I remember being at the 2010 Missouri Nebraska game, and it was the last time they were going to play each other.
Oh, really?
In the Big 12, and Mizzou was undefeated, had just beat Oklahoma, had game day and all this stuff the week before, and then. I want to say they were like number 6 or 7 in the country, and Nebraska beat them like 31-10.
Really?
Yeah. And Roy Helu Jr. ran for like 305 yards or something like that. He was the first Nebraska running back to ever run for 300 yards in a game.
Wow. Which is incredible considering how, Nebraska's passed.
Right. But they just owned Blaine Gabbert the entire game.
Nice.
That was one that Nebraska fans took a lot of satisfaction in because he committed to Nebraska, and then the day before signing day called him and said he wasn't coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then his brother did the same thing.
That's poetic justice then.
Yeah. But, yeah, he never had much success against them. All right. So, Kansas. Yep. I have a hard time believing you're not going to get your first win of the season.
Yeah.
Because you're 0-2.
We must remind people that it's very hard to pick underdogs
to
win outright.
Yeah.
So, I am impressed that you are 1-1. That's very good.
You're 0-2. Who'd you have last week?
I had Arizona.
Oh, man, that didn't go very well.
No, that went the opposite of well.
Yeah, that did not work out very well. Well, I don't even know what the final score was last time I looked at it.
It was
31-0.
Yeah, 40 to something.
Yeah, and then I had USC, which I almost picked USC again, but I was like, I don't think I can rock with a team that lost for me last week.
USC is like – I think they're projected to lose against Texas, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They're the underdogs against Texas.
Yeah, which is, saying something because I think Texas isn't that good.
No. But I think it's a freshman quarterback going into Austin.
That's true.
So I think that probably plays into it. All right, would you rather? Would you rather have a Lamborghini in your garage or a bookcase with 9,000 books and infinite knowledge?
With 9,000 books?
And infinite knowledge.
And infinite knowledge?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd take infinite knowledge. Whoa, wait. Okay. So the books have infinite knowledge, but I have to like take time to read the books.
I don't know. It doesn't go that in depth with it. We can say that you have time to read the books, and then you can retain. I assume that your reading comprehension is good enough yeah. to where you retain enough from the 9,000 books that you have infinite
but
knowledge.
But I mean, the thing is, though, if you think about it, what difference does having books with infinite knowledge make when there's also the internet? The internet is a thing, and there's so much knowledge on the internet that you could basically learn whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, I think I'll just roll with a Lamborghini.
I saw somebody in a Lamborghini at Hy-Vee the other day. I don't know if you saw my Snapchat story.
I did not.
No, it was Sunday morning. I was walking into Hy-Vee, and a guy rolls in a Lamborghini.
Really?
And I was like, what the hell?
What color Lambo was it?
White. Like straight ice white. It was awesome.
Nice.
And I took a video. I was like, nothing says nice, leisurely, lazy Sunday trip to the grocery store, like whipping up in your Lamborghini.
Yeah, dude. And you have to wonder, like, how often does he take the Lambo out? Like, how many days of the year does it just sit in the garage collecting dust, but then, like, you know, you break it out when it's perfect weather? And
yeah, I don't think that seems like a very practical, like, everyday car.
No.
You know? But it would be – that's, like, an ultimate power move.
Yeah.
What that, you know, they
taking
say
the Lambo grocery shopping.
The you know, they say big dick energy. Like, that's big dick energy right there, taking your Lambo to Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. Would you rather have no one show up to your wedding or your funeral?
No one show up to my wedding. I've read that one before, and yeah. That's no question for me, just because the wedding, yeah, it's good and all, but at the same time, like, hey, it's just me and my wife getting married. But then if no one shows up at your funeral, it says a lot more about you, like your life as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you made friends along the way, then they'll want to come to your funeral. But at the same time, like, your wedding, maybe I just want to have a private little wedding where no one comes, you know? It's not going to hurt my feelings. But maybe that's different for other people.
No, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, there are a lot of people that have weddings that they don't even actually have anybody to come to it.
Yeah. And I feel like that answer might be, if you ask women in general, that might skew differently for them, just because I think they put a lot more emphasis on weddings than guys do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, yeah, like I said, it would say a lot more about your life and the quality of person for the people who show up at your funeral, even though you won't be there to see it, obviously.
Right. Well, I mean, depending on what your thoughts are on ghosts and stuff, and like,
that's true,
the existence of your spirit.
So
does your soul continue to exist after you die?
I mean, up for interpretation.
Where I was going to say, we're going to get into some deep philosophical
yeah.
stuff right there.
Exactly.
All right, here's my last one. This one's a little vulgar. Would you rather eat your dead friend or kill your dog and eat it when you are marooned on a lonely island?
Eat your dead friend. So the friend's already dead.
So let me lay out the scenario for you here. You got your pilot's license, and you and your friend are going to go on a transcontinental flight. And something happens. You hit a goose or something. One of the engines goes out. You crash on an island. And your friend dies, but your dog lives somehow. I don't know. I don't know why your dog is with you on the transcontinental.
The dog was in an industrial-grade kennel in the back of the...
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
with padding somehow.
Yeah. The dog survives. You survive. The friend does not. How would you rather go about this?
Oh, man. I think you have to.
Keep in mind that food supplies are low.
That is really tough. I think, man, because like you would think, my first logical thought would be, hey, you have to exhaust all of your other food options before you even consider either of those. So at that point, like I think I need to think about this, that there's absolutely no food
mm-hmm.
at all. Like there was no food on the plane at all to eat, or it's like,
or you've eaten it all
yeah.
already.
Because if there was any food, then I would let the, like.
I mean, I would hope if you're a smart pilot and you're trying to do this,
yeah.
like you would have.
A more than, you know, just a day's worth of food.
I mean, for me, like, if I was going to do that, I would take plenty of, you know, non-perishable items,
yep.
water, etc. And I might even throw in some packs of, like, seeds and stuff, like, so I could if it's like, man, if I'm gonna be here, like I'm gonna be here, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and grow some stuff.
Because like you said, realistically, if you did pack that much food, then you would eat all of that first, and by that time, your friend's body
probably is decomposed. Yeah.
Decomposed.
That's true. Yeah.
But okay, so assuming to make it a true would you rather, there's no other food, I have to immediately, when I'm starving my butt off, go for the dog or the friend. I think I, as weird as it would be, I would want to eat the friend first just because it's meat. And like, come on, like you, to keep your hopes alive, like you have to keep your dog, which is still alive, alive,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
'Cause at that point, like, I mean, I would hope that your friend would be like, yeah, man, take my meat. I don't need it. I'm dead.
Take my meat.
Take my meat, man. Keep Fido alive, man. So it's weird, but yeah, I would probably do that.
I'd probably have to agree, honestly.
Yeah. Even though it's really grisly.
I really put you on the spot with these questions.
You did. Those are some tough ones. I like them, though.
Yeah. All right. I got to find out what this thing that you supposedly have for me is.
Yeah. We can post it to Twitter later tonight or something.
All right. We're probably going to punt on the beer. We might try and figure out a different way to do it. It's hard to find beers from. Actually, I had someone reach out to me and say that they could get me a beer from Ohio.
Oh, well, we should definitely try to get some. Well, like a beer from Ohio. So then that would be Akron.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we
need to get back to them.
We're not going to turn them down.
No.
Obviously.
I probably should do that to like tonight and tell them so that they can get here.
Yep.
But, all right. So, yeah, we're not going to do a beer today. Is there anything else that we need to plug? You're going to be on the Cycling Fanatic radio show on Thursday.
Yes. Sounds like you said we'll be doing Jeopardy with Rob.
I think we're going to play some CF Jeopardy. Probably do upsets. Shouldn't have told you that.
Oh, man. I can prepare.
No. Okay, I'll have to spin it somehow.
We'll do Would You Rathers.
There we go. Get Rob in on the Would You Rathers.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that I don't think we could do those on live radio,
honestly,
probably.
Honestly, I would love to hear Rob like give the logic, because I think he's a very logical thinker.
Oh, yeah. We should just have Rob on Stands and Fits sometime.
That would be actually
just
really
to, like,
fun.
Tell old stories. I've heard some old Rob stories, and they are great, dude.
Yeah.
Like, ones that he's never told on other podcasts.
It would almost be like a throwback to the seniors, except I'm here now.
Yeah, except we didn't really ever, like, I don't know. It's basically just the rundown.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you again next week. Beat the Sooners. Peace.